Well, this next message, the title is Discerning Spirit from Soul. Praise the Lord. Discerning Spirit from Soul. And you just enjoyed probably the top verse. The top verse to show that there is a difference between the spirit and the soul. We actually get into it with people about this. I have, anyway, when I was a trainee. I just couldn't believe that somebody would argue for that, that the spirit and the soul are the same thing. And it doesn't make sense that it doesn't make sense that someone would feel strongly that the spirit and the soul are same. It does make sense that we and the Bible would emphasize there's a difference between the two. We need our spirit. The spirit is the key to everything of God's salvation. Anything that's related to God and man, the spirit really is the key. We serve in spirit, Romans 1:9. We pray in spirit. That's where, Ephesians 6. Our spirit is how we worship. We fellowship in spirit. And we should be able to walk in spirit. We should be able to know our own condition and situation in spirit. We should be able to touch people in spirit. We should be able to know the Lord, fellowship in spirit. I mean, our spirit, we should be able to rule over our being in spirit. We should be able to do this. And our spirit would be the lead, you know. But I think we all get frustrated. And I really enjoyed the brother sharing yesterday about a proper spirit. And I heard that sharing and I was just like, oh, Phil, amen. I want a proper spirit. I want a right spirit, a broken spirit, contrite and humble spirit. I want to be poor in spirit. And all the sharing and the brother shared about meek, I was really touched with that. I mean, unturned cake, brothers. It's an unturned cake. And people touch you, and they... Oh, fast. He's fast. You know, what is the first thing of our being that touches people? Oh, yeah, that brother. Peculiar. You know, smart. Brother's really smart. Capable. Even, you know, good things. But really, our spirit should be the lead. And I just was touched. Oh, Lord, my spirit. Lord, you know... Yesterday, I want adornment. I want to look pretty to the Lord. I want meekness that isn't fake, that's not put on. But my half, I'm just setting up the golf swing for Philip to get it out of there. But I just want to impress you. We have a problem, or it's just a fact, that our spirit, it's not, we're not like this. This is not our being. Body, soul, and spirit. That'd be neat. That'd be easy. You just go, bing, you push the switch, and then you go. Your spirit, right? But, and, you know, in time we should be able to, actually. I mean, we turn our spirit on. We flip the switch. We're in charge. Paul told the Corinthians that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. Amen. You know, we don't wait for inspiration. We don't, when it happens, it happens. We don't live in that kind of fatalistic, superstitious way. Amen. We exercise our spirit.
Amen.
We rule our being with our spirit.
Amen.
But this is a fact, that our spirit is encased in our soul. And the example that the Bible uses is so good. It's a bone. It's a bone with marrow inside of it. No. You know, when I was a kid, you know, I used to fight with my mother over the soup bones because I wanted that marrow. And I'd put it on crackers. It would gross my dad out. You know. But it tasted so good. That marrow. But, you know, my mom made it easy for me. That bone was already cut. It was already broken. And all I had to do was just get the cracker out and go. That's probably what grossed out my dad, huh? And I'd smear it on there and eat it. But, you know, if you want that good part, and that's the example. I'm not making it up. You want the marrow? You got to get through the bone. Why do you lose control of your temper, brothers? You know, why do you say dumb things? Why are you completely unable when the situation warrants it, and you know you should pray? Why are you unable to pray? What's wrong with you and me? It's encased in a bone. You know, the bone of your mind, emotion, and will. The bone of your disposition. The bone of your natural man. The bone of your way of doing things. The bone of your preferences. And, saints, we mean business with the Lord. What about a proper spirit? What about the adornment of a meek spirit? You know, there's a lot of good examples in the Bible, and I mean, there's just no time really. But one verse I wanted to point out to you was 1 John 2:27. And the verse goes something like this, is you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you have no need that anyone teach you. How's the rest of it go? Someone read it. Whoever has it. 2:27, read it quickly, there's no time. Right. Concerning, and it's true, it's not a lie, abide in Him. You read that verse and you say, yes, I don't need to be taught concerning abiding in the Lord. I have an anointing from the Holy One. And this is true. But anyway, I don't want to belabor the point, but I think you understand our spirit, it's encased in a bone. We want to access that anointing. But saints, we have to get through to the spirit. We have to discern the spirit from the soul. Okay? This, brothers and sisters, for any Christian, that means business with the Lord. And actually any believer, because we all have the divine life. We all have the Spirit in our spirit. Every believer has this anointing. But the fundamental problem is that the inner man is encased, confined, and imprisoned by the shell of the outer man, that bone. And it has got to be denied, and it has to be broken. You know, and you know, we're not playing games, right? And this is not a group of people that received the Lord yesterday, and it's also not a group of junior hires. We'd still be singing if it was. But we want to go on and mean business with the Lord. Are you scared of hearing a word about the denial of the self and the breaking of the outer man? Amen. We just want to go on, saints. Amen. Let's read these points in the outline. Roman numeral 1, brothers, go.
The Spirit being concealed in the soul, as the marrow is concealed in the joints.
Right, we did that. Sisters, 2.
The soul needing to be broken, that the spirit may be divided from it, as the joints need to be broken, that the marrow may be divided from them.
Amen. The soul needing to be broken. You know, Watchman Nee says that, I mean, and I've heard this from others as well. There are two ways, really, or two kind of operations of the Holy Spirit to break through our outer man. One of them is gradual. And the Lord will just tap on you. And the Lord will say, in your times with Him in the morning, maybe, Chewy, let me in that room. The room in your memories. The place you like to go. The memories, the old films you like to play over and over again that I don't agree with. Those experiences. give them to me. I want that. And you will say no. And the Lord will say, I'll come back. You know. Maybe it's like that. Gradual. But there is also sudden breaking. And I don't think we even need to describe that. I don't believe I've entered that experience. But we need it so our spirit can come out. And no doubt, everything in between, right? You have one extreme, sudden, one extreme, gradual. And, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it's 16, Paul says something about our outer man decaying. And there is that aspect to it, because as you age, you decay. The rest of it says, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for our inner man being renewed. And then he goes on to describe our momentary lightness of affliction. There's four things, right? It's momentary. It's light. Our momentary lightness of affliction. Well, I guess three things. Momentary lightness of affliction works out more and more surpassingly what? An eternal weight of glory. Saints, don't think the cost is really expensive. It is your whole being. It is yourself. It is your mind, emotion, and will. But still, saints, I mean, haven't we had some good fellowship in the evening line about the kingdom and about God's eternal purpose and overcomers and the reward? It's cheap. The price is cheap. In this age, the price is cheap. It's momentary. It's light. Even that hammer blow. Pow! Oh, that was light. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. And this is not in the order I wanted to share, but saints, we have to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. The Lord does not violate our will. You know this picture. Right? What's the leading part of the soul? And then there's another one? And then the most useful one probably? Yeah. Our choosing capacity needs to align itself with the Lord. And I know you're the same as me. I don't pray for breaking anyway. But you, deep down in your being, you love the Lord, and you really do care for His interests. And although you have no trust in yourself, I hope you don't, to be able to carry out anything you say to the Lord, you would give yourself, spend some time before this week is over, on your knees alone, and you just say, Lord, I want to give you the permission, according to your timing, to bring me through everything I need to go through, to be a building member of your body for my entire life. And then you trust Him. You trust the Lord on this. You know, we have another set of verses. Actually, a lot of Christians love these verses, and we do too. Praise the Lord. For Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8:28. How about some sisters read that verse out loud with a strong spirit? Ready? Go. Brothers, on the next verse, go. Amen. And this is His purpose. You just can't pick what you like out of the Bible. Ah, brother, your car broke down. It'll be okay. You know, the Bible says all things work together for good. Amen. But the whole thing says to those who love God, and praise the Lord, Louis, you love God, brother. and to those who are called according to His purpose. And we all believe we have been called according to His purpose.
Amen.
And the purpose is that He would be the firstborn among many brothers who express Him, who are conformed to His image. But saints, what are these all things? And what is the work that they do? You know, there's a dear brother in our van on the way down here. And we were supposed to leave the meeting hall in Dunloring at 7 o'clock sharp. Earlier would have been my preference. And the brother was late. It was no big deal. I mean, nobody was mad. Everything's fine. This is a college training. Let's start off on a good foot. But this poor dear brother was late because he got a ticket. It wasn't speeding either. It was just hard. It was just a tough, through no fault of his own. Some mild ignorance, but what can you do? If you, that's no excuse. The law is the law, and if we don't know, anyway, it was hard. And as we were praying down, as we were driving down, I was just praying, Lord, let this experience be part of all things for our brother.
Amen.
You know, we need to have a completely different view about all things. You know, the worldlings out there, they get beaten by rods, they get shipwrecked, they get in dangers of thieves, in dangers of, you know, all this stuff that Paul went through. But for Paul, it was different. And for us, it should likewise be different. If you can be with saints, be in a situation, and find the Lord, you're most blessed. And you are on the fast track to having your spirit flow out whenever you like. You know, Tom, I should have... This is the song I should have given you, brother. This is hymn 846. Oh, may my spirit flow. Oh, may it flow.
Amen.
Now I beseech you, Lord. Oh, may it flow.
Amen.
My past I would forsake. The iron walls would break. Iron walls. That's what this is, y'all. This is iron walls. My spirit free would make.
Amen.
Oh, may it flow. Sing this whole song. Or don't even, you don't have to sing it. Pray it. This is what we're after, saints. Okay, brothers, Romans 3, go. Of the soul, the mind. Sisters, 4, go. Okay, these references here. And there is a similar portion in Mark as well. All refer to coming after the Lord, taking up the cross, denying ourselves, and following Him. And actually in John as well. But the details are slightly different in John. But this kind of utterance of, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What shall a man, this is 26, what shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul life? This is the proof. These verses are the proof. What we're talking about is denying the soul. And the soul equals the self. Listen to this. It forfeits his soul life. What can a man give in exchange? Luke 9:25 is, what is a man profited if he gains the whole world but loses or forfeits his self? So, you know, I had a friend at UT when I was in school. He was 3 years ahead of me. He was a senior in high school when I was a freshman in high school. And I already told y'all that I was not really that great of a testimony in high school. Mainly, I was very, very self-centered, and still am to a large degree. But this brother, I really respected him. He's a senior. He spoke to people about the Lord. He read the Word. I would see him reading the Word. I really respected this brother. Chris is his name. And when I was a junior or a sophomore at UT, he was getting his master's in civil engineering. And we ran into each other and began reading the Word together. We met and would read Romans together. It was wonderful. This friend of mine, I was fellowshipping. And then he asked me one day, he said, "Matt, do you think every word in the Bible is God's word?" And then I just had red flags go off. What are you talking about? Of course. And he was going out with a Mormon girl. Big mistake. And, you know, they have another book. To them, the Bible is not the Word of God. But it's very interesting. You know the verses that hung him up? These verses. Yeah. "If anyone wants to come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me." It's interesting. Why would those verses be the problem? But saints, we have to. This is the way that our spirit is released. And you know, mine was the heavy part. Philip will help you with the, he'll get the golf ball to go. But, you know, saints, just real quick, consider some examples, you know. When we aren't discerning our spirit from our soul, we confuse good intentions for the Holy Spirit. You know, those verses are spoken after Peter had the best intention on the earth. And the Lord shut that down and called him Satan. But it was good intentions. You know, Barnabas had good intentions. Barnabas liked his nephew or his cousin, Mark? What was the relationship? Cousin? Well, we know in that situation in Acts 15, Paul was in the right because you don't hear anything about Barnabas anymore after that. But Mark is that's my cousin. That's my cousin. Of course, my cousin is coming with us. Well, that's natural. That's natural. Can you be the same with everybody? Jacob is a good example of someone that just went through it, and at the end, his spirit was flowing. How about we end with a verse? Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. Sorry, 24. And let's, everyone that can see this verse, read it out loud with a strong spirit and an inward prayer and aspiration that we would be like this brother. Numbers 14, that's the fourth book of the Bible. 14:24. Okay? Whoever has it, 1, 2, 3, go. Only Caleb. God said it. Only Caleb. Later he amends it. He says Joshua too. But in this verse he says why? He says why? Because he had a different spirit. Amen. And this is what we want, saints. Amen.
Oh, I never got to this. Saints, this is real quick. The whole thing, the background between Hebrews 4, the background in Hebrews 4 is that Paul was rebuking, he was correcting the Hebrew believers because they were wandering in their soul. They were wandering in the wilderness of their soul, going back to the things of Judaism. And, you know, if this is Egypt, and this is the wilderness, and this is the good land, in our Christian experience, there is a corresponding relationship. This is a picture. Egypt with what part of our being? Yeah. Wilderness? Yeah. And then good land? Spirit. And Paul was encouraging them. Go on. Come forward into your spirit, into the good land. Don't wander. Don't wander in your soul like the children of Israel. You know, should we go in the land? We're going to get destroyed. The Anakim are there. Caleb said, "No, there are food."
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Well, this topic's very interesting and frightening. And maybe you see the word breaking in here. Did we get to that yet? That's in Roman numeral 6, breaking. So our vessel is quite complicated. It's not as simple as you thought, right? You have three parts, but it's easy to lay hold of your body, but it's hard to lay hold of your spirit because these words are used to describe the spirit. I don't know if you caught them. Concealed, hidden, enclosed, encased. So although we may desire to be spiritual people and follow our spirit, here's the three circles. The spirit is enveloped. That's another word. So it's not like a multiple choice. I was telling Matt yesterday, it's not like our inner being is a lunchable. I don't know if you've ever seen those little lunches you can buy where you can just say, today I'll have ham and then cheese and a cracker. You know, you can't just get to your spirit like that. It's more like a coconut, and you want, it's even more complicated than that. But to get to your spirit, to get to that meat of the coconut or the milk or whatever you're after in there, you can't just, you can't just unlock it with some trick. You have to open up the coconut, and it takes some breaking. So there is this principle in the Word about we have to be broken, and that's touched on in Matthew 16. So in Matthew 16, if you want to follow the Lord, you have to deny yourself. Okay, that's in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then in verse 26, it explains what that means. It means you have to forfeit your soul life. And then the parallel verse in Luke 9 says that you have to forfeit yourself. So what we're talking about is if you want self and the Spirit, you can't have it. They're actually opposed. And if the experience of the Spirit requires breaking, dividing. And that's why in Hebrews 4, the marrow, which is analogous to the spirit, is concealed within the bone. You can't get to it unless the bone is broken. So what does that mean? Well, what I'd like to talk about, we just don't have that much time. And what we'd like to emphasize this morning is this matter of taking Christ as your person. And we've touched the spirit, this matter of the conscience being the leading part of the spirit, and the sense in your spirit of the conscience. There is a sense in our spirit. But we want to advance and not just have a sense, but we want to know this one in our spirit who is our real person. Amen. And that's quite detailed. A person doesn't just give off a sense. A person has a mind, has its own mind. You have a mind, right? You have your own mind. You're not just a robot. You have a mind. You have a feeling. You have your emotion. Well, actually, brothers and sisters, if you could just see something today, your real person is in your spirit. That's who you really are. And that's who you really will be. And it's not like two, I don't mean that you're inhabited by some totally different person. And that's the problem is the person in our spirit and the person of our soul are mixed up together. And so you can't really tell. I want to shatter your confidence this morning a little bit. You can't tell what's the spirit and what's you. It's really hard to discern, Tom, right? What is of the spirit? You, what's spirit, Tom, versus Tom? You can't tell without some help. And there's a way that the Lord gave us to discern. And this matter of discernment is critical. Discerning is not a quick thing. You don't sit on a train and say, I just discerned some cows in that field, right? You just saw them as they went by. Discernment means it takes quite an exercise. I think of a jeweler, you know, with his little jeweler's lens, looking, discerning, you know, and he would say, fake. This is fake. Well, we need it to become, even though we're all young, you're all young, you have to start to enter into this matter of discerning spirit from soul. Not just exercising your spirit, but discerning spirit from soul in your daily life. And what that means, discerning the mind of the Spirit from your mind. Discerning the emotion, the feeling of the Spirit from your feeling, and discerning the intentions from your intentions. Because we're people, and your soul, my soul, has been, since I was a little kid, highly developed. You learn to read, you learn to live, you're in society, and all these things form a kind of person. Phil, right? Andrew. You have your family of 9 siblings and whatever, and you have your background and la, la, la. Okay, so you're a person. And you have a way of thinking about things, and you have a way of feeling about things, and you react to things, and you want things. Okay, that's who you are. That is not a crime. That is an inevitability of human life. You are going to be a person. But one day, another person came into your spirit. He has his own feeling, his own mind, his own intention. He's in there. But where is he? He's hidden. He's enclosed. He's encased. He's hard to discern. So I would just caution you from being so sure that you know what this person is saying or feeling or leading. We need the living Word of God. So that's why 5 says we really have to pick up this practice of pray reading. Sitting in a corner, considering things, that is not the way to discern spirit from soul, to just think things over. The remedy for the wandering Hebrews was not that. Paul told them, you're wandering in your soul. You have so much self-interest. You're not entering in. The Word of God will divide soul from spirit. Amen. It's living. You need the living Word of God to discern soul from spirit. So, brothers and sisters, if you don't have a practice of reading and handling the Word of God in that living way, you really will not go very far in your discernment, which means that your Christian life will not be that rich, and eventually you might cause a lot of problems because you'll have so much feeling. So many ideas and intentions, but you have no clue that that's just you. That's why we need the Word of God. This isn't psychology. This is light. True light comes when we handle the Word of God in a living way. Don't you want this? It's actually quite wonderful. And the ones who are, this is a developing matter. There are moments in time where we experience a severe kind of breaking and shatters our confidence in ourselves, and we will have that. But mostly, it's a daily matter that as we handle the Word of God in a living way, that light comes and we realize, I cannot depend on that. That feeling is not Him. That's just me. That's my view. Praise the Lord. So, it's not a matter, I'm just trying to simultaneously discourage and encourage you. Not discourage, but just caution you. It's not enough to say, oh Lord Jesus, okay, I still want to do it. Let's do it. Oh Lord Jesus, well He's not stopping me. Okay, that's good. It's better than just not calling. But that is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, in a sense, a quiet matter. When we handle the Word of God properly, if you're aware of this process, and that's what this morning is for, to set you, to position you, to be ready for what happens when you handle the Word in a living way. What will happen? Something will come and make a requirement on you, a demand on you. There'll be some light there that may be somewhat shocking. Like, wow. The way I feel about this matter is not the Lord at all. But I've felt that way for 5 years. I've set up things in my life according to that feeling. Okay, but if you're not aware of this process, when that little feeling comes, from pray-reading the Word and being in the light of the Word, you'll probably not receive it. You say, nah, shut up. The Lord is with me. No, He's not with you. Okay, I'll just give you some examples that might be helpful. Praise the Lord that we're all failures. And I just remember serving, like I've been serving the Lord for a while with a lot of brothers around the Southeast. I treasure them so much. I can hardly even say that without crying. I treasure the brothers that I've been serving with. But when I was a lot younger, about 10 years ago, I remember this one, Vern told some stories yesterday. So this is another one about Vern. But we were with Vern, and he said something in coordination. It was really small. He said something like, hey, when we're praying together, stop taking sips of your coffee. It's hindering the prayer. Something like that. I 100% agree with that today, because I've come to really see that corporate prayer is like, it's a delicate, fine, it's like corporate brain surgery. And it requires all of us to have such a heightened exercise, even to one another's spirits, to the Lord, you know, and I hate anything that comes in. You know, if people are praying and I hear the gum in their mouth but at that time, I just thought that was outrageous to say that. And I remember just my heart rate elevated and my ears turned red and I was so angry, just like, and then all these other thoughts came about other things, just like, what? And of course, this is the first time anyone has ever heard about this. We had coordination until 9, we had a short break, and I left the room, and I sat on the hearth in the foyer of the meeting hall, and I just contacted the Lord. Lord, it's hard to deny yourself. You know why? Because it's you. And it's easy to deny somebody else's self, but to deny my own feeling. You know, I gave birth to that feeling. It's my baby. But that feeling is so strong. And I just, it took a while, Lord, you know. And then right away, within, the Lord, it's like, and I said to the Lord, and this is very important, just speak according to the truth. Just like the Lord did in Luke 22. Lord, not my feeling. You know, the Lord said, not my will, Your will. So why can't we say that? Lord, not my feeling, Your feeling. Through clenched teeth. Not my feeling, Your feeling. You know, but as I opened, it was just like, what's going on here? Like that is not the Lord Jesus. And that's not who I really am. And just let the Lord wash that out. And it's somewhat painful. That's why this word breaking is there. And there's another reason why it talks about breaking, actually. Well, anyway, praise the Lord for being with the brothers. Something else happened a year ago. Anyway, brother shared something with me that touched me so much. He came and he got with me. And there's another. Anyway, he just said, brother, I've said some things in the past that I realize I was just in a fever. And I don't stand with that, and I just want to repent about some of the things I may have said. And I just considered that for so many days, just like, this brother has experienced some real breaking. Because he would speak with such force on certain topics. And just like we all do, we're all, right? You got pet topics that you know you're right. But this brother, I tell you, life was really flowing out of him. And I think all the brothers that were with were, this is a developing matter. But as you advance in the Lord, to experience the breaking of the soul and the denial of the, you know what it means? It really means you don't have any confidence anymore. You have a strong feeling, but you don't really stand with it. You're not sure. It might be the Lord. The purpose of this fellowship is not to produce people who just have nothing. Actually, the Lord has so much feeling. But so do we. So we need to experience the discerning. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
A lot of what Matt touched on is you may have intentions and emotions and thoughts that are for the Lord. Actually, what this touches on is it's not denying the flesh, although the self is related to the flesh. We're not talking about denying sinful impulses, but so much of what's going on in us is for the Lord's recovery. I know you're young. You can't do that much, but you're thinking about it already. What are you going to do? What's your life going to look like for the Lord? It's for the Lord. It's not for me. It's for the Lord. Actually, it might be of the self. What do you need? The living Word of God.
Amen.
You don't need me to diagnose it. You need the living Word of God.
Amen.
And as we handle the Word properly, that living Word of God will come in and help us. If you're positioned for it inwardly, are you ready? Do you want that? Is it possible for me to tell you that you may have an intention that you've had your whole life that came to you during a conference when you were 12 that might not be the Lord? It might not. You may have projected a future for yourself and your spouse in the church life according to a certain way. Are you willing to receive the living Word of God? He may not want that. That might not be Him. But often, because it's for the Lord or in the church, so positive, all that's, it's not even in the category of what the Lord might be touching. Do you know what I mean? When I was first gained by the Lord, really, I was about 17 and, or 16. But I remember I had all these thoughts that were like, I remember I'd be in the meetings in the church in Atlanta, and I would just have this thought that just seemed so rational and reasonable, like, someday I'm going to be able to speak so well, and people will listen and say amen, and I'll have power and impact, you know. And it just seemed like the Lord was, that's what the Lord wanted me to be. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. You know, and we have, it doesn't take too long before the living Word touches something that outrageous. But even there's other things, there's a lot of self mingled in with our intentions and our thoughts. But we have, then when I went to Georgia Tech, you know, there was all this rushing in the fraternities, and I was just there as the only brother on that campus, but I still had this thought, like, someday I'm going to go down to those fraternities and preach the gospel, and I'll gain the whole fraternity. And you know, but behind it was, there's a lot in there about who gained the fraternity. Who did that? Who was that guy who preached the gospel so well? And, you know, but the living Word of God. And that, okay, that's kind of extreme, but that's in all of you. It's in us. And, only the living Word of God can touch those things. You know, all the things young people like to make song tapes. I'm very pro song tape. But sometimes there's something in there that's like, you need the living Word of God to touch that, you know, to touch your solo. I don't know. Because there's just something there of, so we have a lot of intentions. We want to be married and we want to go to the training but then what? And so would that the Lord could use this kind of gathering. This is a special gathering. You're a special group. We could say whatever we want to you now. And that you wouldn't just say, I want to be in the church life. And so that's just defined as you're in a local church with a job and your home's more or less open to people. You have to let the living Word of God touch that intention. Yes, that intention. That one. To be in a local church in North America happy. That's just your intention. It might be the Lord, the person in your spirit's intention. But often, the more we experience this kind of, this is a developing matter. The Lord may come to you as He has come to some of us and say, that's not my intention. and you're concerned about the future and your kids and all this stuff. I'm not worried about that. Are you still worried about that? I'm not worried about that. See. Are you ready? To have, and then you follow. You say, thank you, Lord. Not my intention, your intention. Not my way, your way. So these things have to be happening all the time. It's a daily matter. The more we enjoy the Lord as the living Word of God, it's always troubling when saints are so assured that their way, that the way they're doing things and their course is just it. They've got it figured out. And sometimes even when I'm coordinating with the brothers that I'm with, you know, around the Southeast, we're together, sometimes someone comes into our midst like that. They just have, they're unbroken. And, you know, I love coordinating with all the brothers because they're all pretty, we're developing in this way. I hope. I think so. So sometimes people have a strong feeling, but then the next day they come back, they're like, brothers, I recant everything I said yesterday. I just don't have any confidence in that. I don't know. But then sometimes someone will come, they haven't experienced that, and they're like, the Lord wants us to do this, brothers. You know, and inwardly it's like, you poor child. You poor child. How did you get in here? It's hard. An unbroken person. So confident. Anyway, I'm trying to plant some seeds in you. Praise the Lord. Oh Lord, don't let us live our own life, our own person. So in the outline it says, well, there's this point here about, you know, what's left. When an unbeliever denies himself, what's left? No, nothing. Well, okay, so they have a spirit, but there's no person in their spirit. So if an unbeliever denies himself, he's left with nothing. But what about us? When we deny our mind, emotion, and will, what are we left with? The Lord Jesus is there. We have a person in our spirit. And that's really marvelous. Sometimes it's just good to speak to the Lord, like, Lord, I just deny my own mind. Even you don't know really what that is, but just speak according to the truth. I deny my own mind. Lord, not my feeling, your feeling. Especially when you're making decisions, you're praying, Lord, not my will, your will. And then often, there's just something left. I tell you, this is a real science. It's not easy. It takes a lot of practice. So I just commend the rest of the outline to you. Maybe that's enough. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So really, maybe I could just apply it this way. I wish we had more time. But it's like, you just have to slow down. Slow down, brothers and sisters. And pray. Slow down. Don't be so quick. You have to take time to deny your person. Who you think you are. Your emotional intelligence, or you know, all you think you have all this empathy and insight. The Lord doesn't care about that. He doesn't need it. So tell the Lord you don't want it either. You just deny it. And we're treated certain ways in the church life. Sometimes you feel indignant, outraged. Don't they know? You know? I don't know. But let the mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who served as a slave. Have you ever been offended? Do you think the Lord Jesus was offended too? That he, as your real person, was saying, be offended like me. You and me can be offended. Of course not, right? And as we pray, read the Word of God, we realize, no, he's not. He's not upset. He doesn't condemn that person, actually. I am. I sure am. He just loves that person, died for that saint, and I should be that saint's slave, actually. I should serve that saint as a slave for the rest of my life. That's the mind of Christ. Doesn't matter who's right or wrong. So this is a marvelous thing. Amen. Okay, I'll finish. Sometimes when you talk about, I just wanted to add this to comfort you. Sometimes we talk about denying the soul, and you may have this thought like, man, I'm going to be annihilated. I have no I don't want to be shattered. I mean, like, I'm me. Right? Like, what's going to happen to Shepherd? I'll miss Shepherd once he denies his soul. Yeah. Well, okay. The Lord is not trying to get rid of us. But he is. But he's not really. And you have to be careful here. But there's a God did create you the way, anyway, the way you are now is kind of messed up. But he did create you a certain way. That's God made you that way. And what he wants to see is not you, but he really likes Christ in you. Not even just Christ. He likes Christ in you. So our mind, emotion, and will, the more they're broken, we stop relying on them as something that functions. We realize it doesn't function. But they're still the faculties through which the real person in us, who is Christ in Phil, that real person can be expressed through my faculties. So we're not just, you know, we're not up here with shattered minds and emotions, just, and we're just trying to let this spirit in us come out. No. We're intact, in a sense. At least we function, but not as a person. Our faculties function as the way that this one in our spirit can come out. So I'm not saying celebrate who you are. No, I'm not saying that. Or be proud of your peculiarities. But you have to balance it with, the person in your spirit wants to come out through you, through your soul as the faculty, not as the person. I'll read this one little excerpt from a book called Spiritual Reality. This is in chapter 14. I really treasure this. It says, the Holy Spirit himself is exactly the same. He's no different regardless of whom he comes out of. However, the Holy Spirit does not nullify us, but he mingles us into him and thus comes out of us. Due to the differences in each one of us, the result of this mingling in each one of us is not the same. The Holy Spirit's the same, but the result of the mingling is not the same. That's actually wonderful. The Holy Spirit is the same in all of us, but his mingling with us varies from person to person. Paul, Peter, and John, and James all wrote parts of the Bible, but Paul's writing bears Paul's flavor. That's the word that the minister uses. Peter's writing bears Peter's flavor, and John's writing bears John's flavor. All these writings are the Word of God. All of them came out of the Holy Spirit. But because they were written through man's cooperation and man's mingling with the Holy Spirit, the four of them are different and have their own flavor. Man's personality is not nullified in the mingling of the Holy Spirit. Is that a little comfort to you? Okay, but you need the living Word of God to divide soul from spirit. So, you know, most of us are still, we still have a lot of trouble with the conscience, but, you know, the Lord isn't satisfied that we would just stay there. So, with such a clear sky, he actually would like to live. He would like to think. He would like to choose. He would like to feel. So we got to get out of the way. Only through the living Word of God. Amen. So, we have 2 minutes. How about 4 people stand up right where you are and respond. 30 seconds each. Is that okay?